produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Thank you. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It's great to be back with you once again, and we look forward to this message that will be shared in this episode of Power Up Your Family. On Sunday, while attending church during the worship service, I had this impression to look at anything that might be significant that occurred on October the 15th. And as I Googled that, I noticed there were a number of things that were somewhat frivolous. But I observed something that I had never heard of that was called Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day. And it's observed annually every year on October the 15th. And it's to recognize the loss of families either during pregnancy or an infant death, which could include a miscarriage, a stillbirth, SIDS, an ectopic pregnancy, and the overall just the death of a newborn. Having had the experience, not in our own family, but of interacting with some other individuals, some other families, I have seen firsthand how tragic and how difficult this can be for individuals and families. You know, when a child loses his parent, they are called an orphan. And when a spouse loses his or her partner, they're called a widower or a widow. But when parents lose their child, there isn't a word to describe that or them. So, as we have recognized in the recent events of this past week, with the brutality that was inflicted upon so many in the Middle East, it was horrific and despicable to learn of the brutal manner in which babies and children were murdered and killed and slaughtered in the nation of Israel by a bloodthirsty terrorist group known as Hamas. I don't want to get political, and we won't delve into that topic, but just suffice it to say, let us all pray for the nation of Israel and for all those who are affected by the war that is ensuing. Pray that those who can will be spared and protected. And may we pray for those families who have lost loved ones and remember them and in their time of grief. Israel is not a large nation geographically or population-wise, and they are experiencing a survival for their lives, and it could get worse before it gets better. So please pray for the people and the nation of Israel. So as we think about grief and the loss of life, what exactly is the purpose of a National Pregnancy and Infant Loss Remembrance Day? Well, it's designed to promote greater awareness and support for the estimated 1 in 4 individuals and families whose lives are irrevocably altered by the death of their children during pregnancy, at birth, or in infancy. Experiences of loss vary for each individual and family unit. Common effects include depression, anxiety, changes in relationships, development of unhealthy coping mechanisms, and yes, even post-traumatic stress disorder, PTSD. These effects are often underestimated, misunderstood, or overlooked by healthcare professionals, friends, and family members, especially when concerning pregnancy loss related bereavement and subsequent grief. Advocates believe that formalized day of observance increases public awareness and promotes greater research and understanding to aid in the creation and establishment of programs, resources, and services to support and provide assistance to survivors of baby loss and their families, enabling them to overcome their trauma and integrate their bereavement into their life in a healthy manner. In 2017, the World Health Organization reported that there were 4.1 million deaths of infants that were less than 1 year old. The WHO estimated an annual occurrence of 2.6 million stillbirths and between 17 and 22% of pregnancies that result in miscarriage. Now, as a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints residing in the Memphis area, we were very pleased when the leadership of our church met with the leaders of the NAACP, and the meeting that occurred, there was an interesting dialogue that came up, and that was when one of the leaders asked the executive director of the local chapter what kept her awake at night. And she said that the zip code in the city of Memphis, but the zip code surrounding the NAACP, had the highest infant mortality rate of any area in the country. Now, many don't realize this that reside in Memphis, but that is not a recognition or a record that we should be proud of. Out of that conversation was born an amazing program called My Baby for Me. And that pilot program has been underwritten by the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, working in conjunction with the NAACP. Every week there are meetings with pregnant, expecting, and new mothers to teach them the life skills of proper nutrition, teach them how to take care of themselves, to take care of their bodies, to better prepare them for motherhood. And then once they've delivered their child, to teach them the skills necessary to provide the proper nutrition and nurturing for their new baby. I understand there's close to 50 participants already in just the last few months that have participated in this amazing program. So we're pleased that we're trying to make a difference. Many might say, well, 50, that's a drop in the bucket. Well, I'm reminded of the story of the gentleman who was walking down a beach along the ocean, and he noticed that a large number of starfish had been stranded on the beach. And down a ways, he saw a man that kept leaning down to the ground, to the sand, and picking up something and throwing back into the ocean, and he soon realized he was picking up starfish, throwing them back in the ocean. So when he got close to the fellow, he said, "What are you doing?" And he said, "I'm saving these starfish by throwing them back into the ocean." And the beach was just covered with hundreds, perhaps thousands of starfish. And the man said, "Well, you can't save all of them," to which the gentleman leaned down, picked up another starfish, threw it back in the ocean, and said to the individual, "Perhaps not, but I just saved that one." So as we think about the opportunity to provide resources to save that one, it is a glorious thing that is occurring within Memphis through My Baby for Me. If you know of anyone that may be in the area that could benefit from this program, there's a Facebook page entitled My Baby for Me, and I would encourage you to take a look at it. And we'll provide a link for it on our Facebook page, Power Up Your Family. Several years ago, our next-door neighbor was having a delivery of a newborn, and unfortunately, the pregnancy and the delivery did not go well. And I remember the time spent with the family in the hospital and the subsequent death of that baby and the funeral service and all that was associated with that. And I will never forget the grief that family experienced. But I was amazed at the faith that they had and understanding that even though they had lost that baby, that precious, precious baby, they had hope for the future and hope of the hereafter. And as we think about the loss of little ones, the loss of anyone, it's well for us to remember Heavenly Father's plan of salvation, plan of happiness. And as we do so, we can have comfort to know that life is eternal. And even though the human body, the remains die, the spirit lives on. Now, when we think about little children, I remember a talk that was given by an individual where he said, a friend of mine once shared an experience he had on his mission in Brazil. He and his companion met a woman who forcefully declared that she was not interested in any religious message. She said a religious leader had once told her that her infant son who died could never be saved because he had not been baptized. The thought of that broke her heart. She told the missionaries that unless they had a better message, she wanted nothing to do with their religion. Fortunately, they did have a better message. The doctrine of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints regarding the salvation of little children can be summarized in a single verse found in Scripture. Quote, all children who die before they arrive at the years of accountability are saved in the celestial kingdom of heaven. This is found in Latter-day Saint scripture known as the Doctrine and Covenants, verse 137, verse 10. Although this doctrine is clear, many people still have questions about or misunderstand this topic. So let us shed some light on a few of the most common questions. How are little children saved? Many people assume that little children are saved simply because they are innocent. While little children certainly are innocent, the Book of Mormon teaches plainly that without the atonement of Jesus Christ, even little children cannot be saved, because in Adam or by nature they fall. Although they are innocent of any sin, little children would still be subject to physical and spiritual death brought by the fall. As a result, without the resurrection and the atonement of Jesus Christ, they would be eternally lost, as would the rest of us. Gratefully, the Book of Mormon clarifies that, quote, the blood of Christ atoneth for the little children, and the curse of Adam is taken from them. Because of the Savior's atonement, little children are free from the effects of the fall of Adam and Eve, for they are whole. At what age are children saved? Again, in the Doctrine and Covenants, we find teaches that all children are saved in the celestial kingdom of heaven. The only condition is that they die before they arrive at the years of accountability. A member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles explained, accountability does not burst full upon a child at any given moment in his life. Children become accountable gradually over a number of years. Becoming accountable is a process. There comes a time, however, when accountability is real and actual, and sin is attributed in the lives of those who develop normally. It is 8 years of age, the age of baptism. In other words, accountability develops within children all along, but at 8 years old, they are sufficiently accountable to be baptized and are therefore sufficiently accountable for their own sins. As any parent knows, however, this does not mean children are incapable of doing something they know is wrong. What does it mean? Is that they are not yet sufficiently responsible for these wrong choices? Children have what might appropriately be called a grace period, when they are not responsible for their wrongdoings, as they learn and grow into accountability. If they should die in that time when they are saved by the grace of Christ without baptism or any other effort on their part, what will little children be like when they are resurrected? Former president of the church, President Joseph F. Smith, said, he lost many children to early deaths. He was comforted by the doctrine that little children would be resurrected as little children and raised to maturity by their righteous parents after the resurrection. President Smith once shared the following, quote, Joseph Smith taught the doctrine that the infant child that was laid away in death would come up in the resurrection as a child. And pointing to the mother of a lifeless child, he said to her, you will have the joy the pleasure and satisfaction of nurturing this child after its resurrection until it reaches the full stature of its spirit. There is restitution, there is growth, there is development after the resurrection from death. I love this truth. It speaks volumes of happiness, of joy, and gratitude to my soul. Thank the Lord, He has revealed these principles to us. Close quote. Not only will little children reach full maturity, they will also reach full exaltation. Book of Mormon prophet Abinadi taught that little children also have eternal life. The prophet Joseph Smith taught that you shall have your children, for they shall have eternal life, for their debt is paid. So we can appreciate, as the prophet Joseph Smith and his wife Emma had reason to ask why little children die, because six of their children died, the prophet said, quote, I have meditated upon the subject and asked the question why it is that infants, innocent children, are taken away from us, especially those that seem to be the most intelligent and interesting. The strongest reasons that present themselves to my mind are these. The world is a very wicked world. The Lord takes so many away, even in infancy, that they may escape the envy of man and the sorrows and evils of this present world. They were too pure, too lovely to live on earth. Therefore, if rightly considered, instead of mourning, we have reason to rejoice as they are delivered from evil, and we shall soon have them again. Another servant of the Lord experienced the death of an infant granddaughter. At her funeral, he said, there are certain spirits who come into this life only to receive bodies. For reasons that we do not know, but which are known in the infinite wisdom of the Eternal Father, they do not need the testing, probationary experiences of mortality. So when we think about all of this in regards to eternal perspective, although nothing in this life can take away the feelings of loss of family experiences with the death of a child, we may find comfort in the doctrine that little children who die will be exalted. We know this because it has been revealed by our loving Heavenly Father and taught by His modern prophets and apostles. These truths from Latter-day Revelation are some of the sweetest and most comforting truths of the gospel. So, as I think about some of these experiences that I've had, I remember we received a phone call from a member of our church who, her teenage daughter, who was pregnant, had a lot of pain, had was in the middle of the, early on in the pregnancy, had gone to the hospital, and after quite a bit of efforts, they determined that there was no heartbeat and that the baby was no longer alive. So as she was admitted to the hospital, they provided medications to help her have the infant exit. And I remember this mother called us to come to give a priesthood blessing to this daughter of hers. And when we arrived, we could tell she was very uncomfortable. We proceeded to give her the blessing. Her comfort level seemed to be even more intense, not as good. It was more intense pain. And so we called for the nurse, and the nurse came in and said that they would go get the doctor. And while they were gone, something very unusual happened that I will never forget. As this poor daughter, teenage daughter, was in great pain, the infant came out and was laying there on the bed sheet. And as we witnessed this, the poor mother passed out. I actually had to catch her, and we got a chair for her. And the nurses and everyone came in, and they actually admitted her into the hospital. And we escorted her down as the doctor and the nurse attended to the young daughter. And we went down to the emergency room with the mother, gave her a priesthood blessing, made sure she was okay, and I went back up to the room where her daughter was, and her father was there. And they had cleaned the child, the baby, Tim, in a blanket, and the daughter's father was standing there holding this little one. Beautiful, beautiful little child. As I saw the comfort that they were receiving because of being able to have those few precious moments with that little baby, I was forever shaken to my core to realize just how precious life is and how easy it is for so many of us to take it for granted as we witness the loss of life throughout the world due to wars and famine, plagues and pestilence. We must be mindful that we have a great responsibility to help one another in these times of grief, and to encourage those who lose little ones or even children. The same time that our neighbor had the loss of their baby, another family that we knew had a young child who had been battling cancer for some years, and eventually it took her down. And this beautiful family asked that I, as a bishop, to preside at the funeral service. And it was a tender, tender experience. And so when we think about the statistics that go into all of this, a stillbirth is the death of a baby before the moment of birth. In most states in the U.S., babies who die before 20 weeks of gestation are classified as miscarriages. And babies who die at 20 weeks gestation or later are classified as stillbirths. In the United States, nearly 21,000 babies are stillborn every year. Worldwide, there are more than 2.6 million stillbirths every year. One out of every 175 deliveries ends in stillbirth. Unfortunately, Black and Native American families experience stillbirth at rates twice the rate of other families. The stillbirth rate for women in their 40s is 2 to 3 times the rate of women in their 20s and 30s. 1 in 6 women will be diagnosed with post-traumatic stress disorder after a stillbirth. It is estimated that 25% of all stillbirths in the United States are preventable today, and 47% of all stillbirths in the U.S. at 37-plus weeks are preventable today. There are more stillbirths every year than deaths from prematurity and SUID, SIDS combined. So as we think about families in these moments of grief, let us be mindful that when someone loses a loved one, knowing what to say or how to help can be challenging. While every situation and family is different, there are many things most families appreciate during this time. First, let them know that they're not alone. This may not even require words, giving a hug, holding a hand, sending a few words, or just sitting in silence. Let the family know you are there for them and remember their baby. What may seem like small or insignificant acts are often the loving gestures remembered positively in the days and months to come. Everyone grieves in their own way. The grief process affects persons differently. Even if individuals are grieving the same baby, their reactions may be very different. Most parents will be on a roller coaster of emotions and in various phases of grief for some time to come. These phases aren't predictable, can last for a very short or very long time, and can be revisited. Give them permission to feel what they need to feel without judgment or advice. Many of the emotions may be difficult for you to understand. It's okay to let them know you can't imagine what they are feeling, but that you love them and support them. Some parents have had very little or no time with the baby while he or she was alive outside the womb. However, the parental attachment begins early in pregnancy, and the loss will be felt as if the child had lived for much longer. Now, be mindful that the loss of a baby affects an entire family, including siblings. Young children may not be able to comprehend death, but they can feel the sadness in those they love. Older children may have been anticipating this baby with some love, hopes, and dreams as their parents. Acknowledge their loss. Allow them to express their emotions. Playing and drawing are two ways young children can express their feelings or concerns. Offer to answer their questions. Answer them honestly but appropriately based on their development level. Many siblings enjoy having a special item of their own to remember their baby brother or sister. A stuffed animal, a picture, or other special gift can be used for this purpose. Adults often desire to shield their children from the pain of loss. However, most children are aware that something sad has happened even without being told. Including children can often be very therapeutic for the siblings and the parents. The extent of the involvement can be determined by the parents and the children themselves. It is normal for young children to reprocess the loss as they are older and have increased abilities to understand death and grief. Some adults are concerned if they start suddenly asking more questions, but this is part of their developmental process. Answer their questions and support them without or making them feel that their questions are inappropriate or untimely. So in a summary, simple gestures that are often best and most meaningful. Be present. Say, I'm sorry. Use the baby's name. Ask them to tell you about their baby or ask to see or hold the baby if appropriate. Ask to see pictures of the baby if they were taken. Acknowledge them as parents. This is particularly difficult for families who do not have other living children. They are parents and should be supported accordingly. Remember the father. Mothers often receive the majority of the concern, but fathers grieve too and appreciate their grief being acknowledged. Fathers tend to be strong for the mother and may not feel they have permission to grieve themselves. Support their decisions. There are many new decisions that need to be made regarding medical care, testing, burial arrangements, memorial services, cultural or religious ceremonies. What to do with babies, things, and more may be appropriate to help the parents carry out those decisions, but do not judge what they have chosen. Each family must decide what is best for them in the moment. So it would be easy to go through the many things that we shouldn't say, but in deference to time, let me simply close by saying that I know that Heavenly Father has provided a way for families to be eternal and forever. In dealing with the loss of a loved one, it's important that we support, sustain, and grieve with, and provide love to those who are going through this difficult time. It's my prayer and my hope that each of us will be mindful of the love that Heavenly Father has for all of His children, and that each of us is precious in the sight of God. Testify of this in the holy and sacred name of His beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the Internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.